Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York City. And I'm broadcasting tonight on Super Bowl Sunday from my bright red desk here on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. It is a lovely day here in New York City, and feeling very spring-like, actually, even though it is the middle of February, or the beginning of February. What we do here on the Weekly Weather is we talk about the week ahead and what the energy is about so you can use it productively. And this is actually a really big week for a couple of reasons. One, we have the new moon, which starts the first new moon after the new year, which starts the Chinese New Year, and that happens tomorrow. It's a new moon at 19 Aquarius, and what it does is it speaks to us about community, group, collective, and how what we're trying to do. Now, of course, in the course of a year, you have a new moon in every house in your chart. There's 13 moons in a year. That's why Easter and Rosh Hashanah and the Chinese New Year all move, because they're based on lunar calendars. Ramadan too. But the Western people, we do the Western astrology, we do the sun. So we go, yeah, great, you're moving, the moon is moving, but it also marks a new energy. And it is the energy of spring. It is the energy of, in the Chinese New Year, we're bringing in the fire monkey. So monkeys are very quick, facile, able to get a lot of things done with their hands. And, of course, Jupiter's in Virgo, the signs of hands and dexterity. And so the Mercury and the Gemini, Mercury rules both Gemini and Virgo. And so that's that whole comment about monkey see, monkey do. Remember the three little monkeys, hear no evil, speak no evil, see no evil. So Gemini, of course, is very active in this monkey year. And it is a fire monkey. There's five elements in Chinese astrology. And in the course of your life, when you get to 60, you've lived through all the different Jupiter cycles, and you've lived through all the five elements. So this is the year of the fire monkey. And for all the people with Jupiter and Virgo, here we are. We're celebrating your number. We're celebrating your year. And the Chinese animal signs correspond to the sign Jupiter's in, as he takes a year to go around each chart. And in 60 years, he's been in five elements, 12 times. So what we're going to do on the Chinese New Year is we celebrate. And, of course, there's fireworks over Manhattan. We have a holiday tomorrow for the schools because we have we celebrate Chinese New Year in New York. And when I was young and I was down in Chinatown, one of my friends from college was like, yeah, yeah, Chinese New Year is really great. You know, you go down there and they're throwing fireworks. This was in the 70s before this stuff was banned. Throwing fireworks. I thought I was going to die. You know, I'm a wimpy Virgo. I don't go to violent movies, and they're blowing up things next to me. Admittedly, it was fireworks, but it was poppers, you know, and they kind of boop, 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 boop. So the firework energy is very strong on the Chinese New Year, and also the celebratory nature of a fire, passionate, go, 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 monkey. And monkeys, if you think about the zodiac is actually a zodiac, full of animals. And I have there's a really brilliant astrologer named Monica Hablo Domino who lives up in the Boston area, and she said, I've lived with every animal in the zodiac, which when you think about it, there's some interesting animals in there. But she said they really do describe the signs. And so when they were first characterizing elements and planets and kind of going, well, it behaves a little bit like a rabbit. Well, it behaves a little bit. So this year we're going to behave a little bit like monkeys. And have you been feeling way busy and a million and one things to do? And if you think of monkeys, how fast and quick they are with their hands, and they can fly around in the trees, and they jump up and down, and they chase each other. That's kind of what the year's going to be like. So we're entering the fire monkey here. It just gets faster. So you're going to be going, faster? I don't know how it can possibly get faster. I'm feeling like I'm running from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. And you are, because there's a thing in the sky called a T-square. And what a T-square does is it says, busy, busy, crossroads, lots to do. And it's in the signs that are called mutable, which are the changing signs. So it's ever-changing, busy, busy. And, of course, that's what a fire monkey would be like, as opposed to like a wood monkey. You know, wood monkey's not going to do so much stuff. It's wood. Wood doesn't move that fast. But fire, fire moves fast. So we have a fast mover. Then this week also is, because it's Mardi Gras, it's also the beginning of Lent. So we have Mardi Gras, which is Fat Tuesday, Gras, Fat Mardi Tuesday, Mars's Day. On Tuesday, then we have Carnival down in Rio, we have Party Party, you know, all the countries that celebrate Mardi Gras. And then Lent starts on Wednesday, which is the 40 days leading up to the Last Supper and also to Passover. So it's a really interesting week because it's got a lot of energy, celebratory and passionate. And then, of course, once Lent comes, everybody runs around with those little crosses on their head. Remember, you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. You find out who all the Catholics are, which I always, when I would go down Midtown, I'd be like, wow, look at all the Catholics, a lot of people with crosses on their forehead. And so Lent begins on Wednesday. The week also has a number of really interesting aspects. And this week we had a bunch of interesting aspects as Venus came to Pluto. And then she went, and I did not have any gluten. I have no idea why I'm coughing. And I ordered food. I didn't eat it yet, so I'm not quite sure what this is about. We will take a sip of water and breathe and calm down because it's busy, busy. It's one of those busy, busy days. So Venus and Venus met up with Pluto and Uranus this week, the weekend that we just had. And so a lot of things were revealed. Remember, Mercury is still in his shadow. He's in his shadow until next Friday. So the stuff's coming out. We're learning stuff we hadn't learned before. We're finding out things we didn't know before. Things are being revealed. And Venus-Pluto is, of course, intense understanding about relationships. And then Venus-Uranus is breakthroughs, breakups, breakdowns, break-aparts, and kind of carries the energy. Now, because it's Earth-Fire energy, right? Pluto's in Earth, Uranus is in fire. We can expect fire, and there was an earthquake in Taiwan. And we do find these at certain times of the year when there's times when things happen more. And I've been thinking we're going to lose a rock star or a woman singer because we lost a lot of the men with Mercury rolling over Pluto. But we still have another week to go, and we'll see what happens this next week with that, because until Mercury leaves his shadow on the 13th, 14th, we're kind of still working within the Mercury retrogrades period. So the shadow is when it enters the story, which was in December, and then he was retrograde in January, and then he's direct now, but he has to go past the point of his station. And when he does that, then we say he clears his shadow. So we still have some Mercury retrograde to do. And a lot of people are negotiating things with the North Node and Jupiter traveling together, and they're still traveling together for the rest of the month. we'd like to see a 2-degree separation from them, from each other. And Jupiter's going backwards and the Node goes backwards. So they're kind of rolling along together. And, of course, the North Node in Virgo is the sign of health, and quite a few people that I've run into, myself included, are doing major health operations or adjustments in their life or facing major health things. My father had surgery Friday, emergency surgery for his hernia. And it's just that kind of fast-moving, quick time. South Node, of course, in Pisces is letting things go. And Chiron is within orb of that South Node. Now, what happens this week is with this new moon energy, we're beginning a whole new chapter. And you're going to look at what house you have it in, at 19 Aquarius, and that's where your new chapter is beginning. So for me, it's my first house, and I'm doing my first new moon manifestation webinar right after this at 7:30. Have a half an hour to eat dinner that just got delivered, and I'm ready to go. So if you'd like to sign up, there's still opportunity. The link is available on my website. And you'll be mailed right after, I guess an hour after the webinar, you'll be mailed a copy of the link. So if you can't attend, you can still get the link and listen to it. Or if you're at a Super Bowl party having fun. But it also is about manifestation and how do we work creatively. I was, talking to people after the webinar and setting intentions, and a couple people suggested it in the suggestion pile. And I thought, well, that sounds interesting. And Rose, my assistant Rose, had suggested it. And so this is the first So we're having a new moon manifestation. We'll see how it goes, get feedback from people, adjust, tweak, and go. And then next month, of course, is the eclipse. And that is a really big eclipse. It's at 18 Pisces Virgo. So the eclipse, the sun and the moon are going to meet at 18, and they're going to be opposite Jupiter at 18. And it's a solar, and it's right on the nodes. So that's a really profound one. Think back to 97 and 78, spring of those years, and go back in 19-year cycles to get the earlier part of the story. But this week, the new moon in Aquarius is in the house of groups and invites us to, because it's 9 in the morning, 9:30 in the morning, it invites us to our group and our community and our whatever. And then, of course, look where it is in your chart. So, of course, we're having the elections, which are moving along. And that's, of course, a community operation where the community, the public, is asked to step forward and vote for who they want. And we often see the energy reflected in the sky. So we have the Music Awards this week, drawing a blank, I think the Grammys. And they are a lot about the music and the industry and how we communicate to the tribe our vision. Because music is always, always a marker and a communicator of the peace and the vision and the creative energy of the tribe. Whatever tribe is singing, they're communicating to the tribe that's listening and inspiring. So this is an interesting week to have the new moon as we have the Grammys. So our job, should we decide to accept it, and we're here, so we might as well accept it, is to work with this energy productively and say, okay, what are we doing? So our week ahead, get your pens and pencils out. Let's talk about those new moons. The new moons are in Aquarius, Pisces, Aries, and Taurus, and, of course, leading up to Valentine's Day on next Sunday. And next weekend, there's a President's Day weekend, so we have a three-day weekend. So in New York, we're off on to this Monday, the 8th, and then we're off next Monday, the 15th, for all the dead presidents. So, you know, it's party down. February is short this year. So when we're working with the Aquarius moon, we're working with the moon of the collective, the group, the community, and, of course, wherever Aquarius is in your chart. But that tends to be where you're more humanitarian. And the moon is in Aquarius, and it goes void at 9:30 in the morning, tomorrow morning, with a conjunction to the sun to make the new moon. And then it's void all day on Monday. And then it goes after 9:39. And then it goes into Pisces at 3:31 Tuesday morning, bright and early. And then it's in Pisces, and it's got a nice closing aspect for Monday. So even though the moon is void, you can get stuff done, you can do things, and they'll have a positive outcome. And, of course, anything that you began today on Sunday will go very rapidly. Now, somebody wrote in and said, you know, sometimes the moon is 2 days, sometimes the moon is 3 days. Why is that? And it's because the moon's speed... The moon moves along anywhere between 12 degrees a day to 17, almost 17, like high 16s, which is pretty fast. Average is 13 degrees a day. So kind of think, you know, when it's going slow, it takes a little longer. It's moving a little slower. And when the moon is fast, it's zipping along and it'll whip through a sign much quicker. So we actually measure the speed of the moon. And it often, in a natal chart, it refers to how well you retain things. So slow moons, people learn things and they never forget. Fast moon people, they're the people that study the night before for the exam and do a good job and then promptly forget everything they learned. Not really, but the fast moon doesn't necessarily feel the need to retain it. It feels the need to have the emotional experience and move on quickly. Whereas the slow moon says, let me have a slow experience. Similar to slow food, and also the whole slow food eating movement is about eating slowly and savoring and enjoying. So we watch the moon's, why it changes. So that was a good question from a listener, and feel free, if you have questions, to write me and I'll answer them. So at any rate, it goes into Pisces on Tuesday and Wednesday. And it goes void at 11:25 Wednesday night. So it's in Pisces both Tuesday and Wednesday. And Pisces, of course, is our deep, dreamy, emotional, feeling sign. And it goes void on Ash Wednesday with a moon sextile Mercury, which is reaching an agreement. coming to terms, coming to understand how things are going to happen. The moon is void Wednesday night from 11:25 p.m. till bright and early Thursday morning when it goes into Aries at 4:55 a.m. And it's in Aries on Thursday and Friday, and Saturday morning it goes void at 5:22 a.m., and it goes void with a square to Mercury. So the 11 and the 12 have a little bit of a struggle, a little bit of an argument, a little bit of a fight. They kind of argue and they're a little crabby. And that's on the 11th and the 12th. And then the moon goes into Taurus on Saturday morning, bright and early, at 6:30 in the morning. And it's in Taurus, the sign of love and delicacy and good chocolate, on the 13th and the 14th. And then it goes void in bright and early Monday morning with the moon trine Venus. So the moon in Taurus trines Venus. And Venus, of course, is in Capricorn. So the weekend of the 13th and the 14th, including Valentine's Day, is good for romance. And then because next Monday is President's Day and you might be on vacation or having the day off, the moon goes into Gemini Monday morning at 9:35 a.m., and it ends with a trine to sun, so that, again, President's Day, busy, busy, lots of communication, lots of connection, lots of talk. So the energies are nice. The weekend of the 11th and the 12th has a little bit of an argument, the Aries moon. But Aries moon can be assertive, and it's arguing with Mercury. And Mercury, of course, is in the last degrees of Capricorn. So moon in Aries arguing with Mercury in the last degrees of Capricorn. My money's on the Capricorn-Mercury. The contract's going to win. The deal's going to be done. So even though it's a square and people might not be happy, the stuff is finished and resolved. So that's helpful. And then we go into Tuesday, we go into Saturday, Sunday, and it's nice that 13th and the 14th. We love Taurus moon. And I always, you know, the holidays happen here in New York much quicker. So I was walking around the other day and there were all these chocolate roses. I was kind of looking at them and go, what are the chocolate roses for? They're on like sticks, you know, in the deli next door. When I stopped in to get my coffee on the way, I taught a class this weekend. And I'm like, what are the chocolate roses? What are those doing? And they're, you know, sitting right on top of the counter where, of course, you would pick one up as you came in to remind you Valentine's Day is coming. And I'm like, oh, right, it's Valentine's Day next weekend. So remember the people that you love. Now, Heather, one of my co-hosts on the Access Astrology show on Wednesday night, always talks about Valentine's Day is about the agape love, where we're in love with the community, we're in love with the group. It wasn't necessarily a romantic holiday. We've kind of turned it into one. But it's really a holiday about expressing gratitude. And in the time of Aquarius, which is when we're really working, which is where the sun is right now, the time of Aquarius is a lot about working for the greater good of humanity and the greater good of the community. So it's a, you know, they would work, finish the work on their own stuff, and then they would go help their neighbor raise the barn or quilt the quilt or do the group project that required many hands to help. So Aquarian energy is very much inclusive of everybody. It wants to include everybody. So I think once we have this new moon on the coming up, I think it'll be interesting to see how that changes the politics that we're currently watching, which are a little bit divisive. But it always is interesting how the collective reflects things and says, well, this is how we're going to do this. And we then, here on Earth, notice through the local astrology that we're living what happens. And, of course, that T-square, even though it's broken apart right now, the universe knows it's going to come back together again, or the seasons know, or your insides know. They know you haven't quite finished it yet. So when it comes back in together to really intensify after the eclipse of March, April, May, June, July, when it's really tight, the energy now, what we're doing is we're setting up for that. So it's very important to pay attention to who you meet, get their business cards, give them your business cards, learn stuff. Kind of somebody says, you know, hey, I think you need to do this. Take them up on it. Make sure you do it. Someone says, hey, I'd really like to do this. If you can fit them in, fit them in. Because you want to gather, because this is a new gathering. It's a new 12-year gathering as well as a new 19-year gathering in whatever house you have Virgo in. So it's an important collective energy that you want to kind of work with productively. And the idea of that, that's why you're listening to this radio show, is, okay, what's going to happen this week? You know, I'm going to have an Aquarius moon Monday, Tuesday, good aspects, okay, good, good. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Pisces moon, good aspects, good, good. A little bit of contention, Thursday, Friday, okay, okay, I can handle contention as long as I'm clear and I stay what I need, moon, square, Mercury. And then the Taurus, the weekend, thank you. And it's a three-day weekend, thank you. I needed a three-day weekend, you know, and then, of course, enjoying it, enjoying the Taurus moon, because it is a lovely moon. It's the moon. It's the moon of connection, creation, and it's got a great deal of chocolate involved in it, which, of course, is never a problem. So we also have this week a few other aspects going on, so we'll talk about those. Mercury, of course, is going to leave its shadow on the 13th and the 14th. Now, interestingly, on that same day, and the universe has this way of pulling these things together, and I'm not quite sure how they do it, but I have to tell you, studying astrology makes me believe in a plan. So the universe is going to pull Mercury out of his shadow at the 0 degree of Aquarius, which is a very smart degree for Mercury. Mercury goes into Aquarius on Saturday morning at 5:43, Saturday night at 5:43 p.m. And then Mars is going to come to his station degree. Now, Mars is going to enter his shadow right after Mercury leaves his. And I've mentioned before, we're going to have a big Mars retrograde this year from the middle of April till the end of June. And Mars is going to go retrograde from 8 degrees of Sagittarius back to 23 Scorpio. So this week, Mars gets to 23 Scorpio on the weekend, on Saturday. And what it does is when he gets to 23 Scorpio, he gets within orb of it, and he gets there, actually, I'm sorry, on the 15th. But next weekend, I'm counting President's Day. I know it's not the weekend, but we're off. We're off. It counts. So anyway, Mars is going to get to Scorpio. And now, those of you who just finished Saturn in Scorpio, which is all of us, in February of 2014 and in November of 2014, end of October, beginning of November of 2014, Saturn stationed at 23 Scorpio. Mars going to trigger that degree next weekend. And then when we get to the end of June, beginning of July, he's going to park on that degree for 3 weeks. So any unresolved Scorpio stuff going to show up next weekend. All right. And it'll come rearing out. Trust me, it's Mars in Scorpio. He's not subtle when he's in Scorpio. And he goes, you know, you didn't do this. And you're going to go, oh, didn't I do that? No, you know you didn't do that. You know, he's Mars. He's a little bossy thing. But what he wants you to do is any unresolved stuff left over from that Saturn in Scorpio journey, he wants you to get cleaned up. Now, he's going to go as far as 8 Sag before he goes backwards. And then he's going to say, okay, I can't go forward. I got to finish this up. So he's going to back up, back to 23. And you have to kind of think giant zigzag in the sky. And he zigzags back to 23, and then he goes forward again. Kind of like when you walk out of the room and you go into the other room, and you go, damn, I don't remember what I came in here for. And then you go back to where you came from, back to the kitchen, and you go, all right, what was I going to get? Oh, the scotch tape. And then you go back into the room remembering scotch tape. So Mars, when he forgets something, he goes back. So he's going to lose something this week on the weekend, or he's going to trigger something, or you're going to hear from somebody, maybe somebody from 2014, maybe even from somebody from fall of 2012 when he was last in Scorpio, getting ready for Saturn to go into Scorpio. But your Saturn in Scorpio lesson isn't quite done yet. And I know you were really breathing a sigh of relief, but you have to think of Mars as kind of the cleanup guy. He comes back through again and he goes, I know you handled it, but are you really done with it? Is there anything unresolved? What are the loose ends that need to be tied up, which we're going to be tying up between April and the end of June? So you're going to find out what the loose ends are this week. And, of course, Mercury's in his brilliance communicating to you. These are the loose ends. And you're going to be like, really? I didn't know those were loose ends. So just kind of watch what happens as Mercury leaves his shadow and Mars enters his, kind of right next to each other. The other energy we have this week, when I get my little list up, here we go. excuse me. The sun, it goes from 19 Aquarius to 24. Not a lot of aspects, but on the 11th, the 10th, it has a health aspect, so kind of watch what happens on the 10th when it's in conjunct to Jupiter. And that is also a little bit of energy around a healing modality or a healing connection. And then he gets to the 11th, and it says, okay, adjust your choices. Now, Aquarian in conjunct to the North Node in Virgo, North Node in Virgo has a very precise way of wanting to do things, and it's very particular, and it goes, this is how we're going to do it, and bop, 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 bop. And Aquarius Sun goes, you know, you can't really tell me what to do. Every Aquarius you know, including the Aquarian risings and the Aquarian moons, they just don't really like being told what to do. So this is one of those weeks, the 11th, which is Thursday, there is a little bit of an argument between what you're supposed to do versus what you are going to do. And just know it's coming. Mercury, of course, we talked about, it leaves his shadow. He's going from 23 Capricorn to 1 Aquarius. And he enters Aquarius on the 13th at 5:42 p.m. And he then is in Aquarius until... He's in Aquarius until March 5th when he goes into Pisces. In Aquarius, he has a few aspects. Not most important, of course, are the ones on February 8th and he's talking to Pluto and Saturn. Now, remember, Mercury is the only planet that can go into the underworld. We have had a lot of underworld things going on when Mercury was in Capricorn hanging out with Pluto, the lord of the underworld. All these people died. So Mercury and Pluto are... talking to each other one more time this week. And they're also talking to Saturn. Saturn, of course, being the end of things. Now, interestingly, Saturn and Pluto are in what we call an aspect by declination, and that tends to be a pretty big one. They're what we call parallel, which means they feel like they're united. They're merged together. So a lot of the structures that we are seeing appear to be finished or done, and a lot of the people that have their structures are running out. That's why we seem to be having a lot of deaths. But also, when the sun is in Aquarius, the life force is low. Sun is considered in its detriment in Aquarius. So the Saturn-Pluto conjunction invites kind of a connection on a deeper level. And as Mercury talks to Saturn and Pluto this week, at the beginning of the week, we can expect to hear some pretty big news of endings in our own lives or in the lives of other people. Because it's just, that's Mercury brings the news and Saturn, Pluto is endings. When they were fighting in the sky, it was the World Trade Center. Now they're joining in the sky by declination, meaning that they're talking to each other. And declination is an interesting topic. Not a lot of astrologers include it. I find it really potent because it just gives us a lot of information. Venus is going from 19 Cappy all the way to 26 Cap, and she too on the 13th talks to Saturn and Pluto. Back to why I think a woman rock star is leaving. She also aspects the nodes on the 10th of February, which will probably be when we hear about it, because she trines Jupiter and she aspects the nodes of fate on February 10th, which is Wednesday. And she's busy. Mars, of course, trines Chiron on the 9th, so kind of watch for healing opportunities or watch for wounding opportunities. He also has a sextile to Jupiter on the 13th, giving him great abundance of energy, and the two of them really work together. They're in earth and water, so they make mud. He also has an adjusting energy on the 9th, so it's a great time to begin a health cleanse or begin a diet. Saturn and Pluto perfect their conjunction by declination on February 9th. Tuesday, so that's the big heavy day, and trust me, it'll be a big news day. And we also have Vesta and Pallas Athena both aspecting by declination the nodes of fate. So watch for smart women, interesting women, or unusual stories around homes and hearths on these days. And on that note, the British lady says, I be done. So Wednesday is the busy. Thursday is quiet. Friday is busy. Saturday is busy. And Monday is a little stressful. So have a good week. We'll catch up with you next week on Valentine's Day. Because I am going to be in Princeton, the show will be broadcast slightly earlier that week because I'm going to be down in Princeton speaking with the Princeton Astrological Society on the Venus Star Point. So if you're in the Princeton, Philly area, feel free to come by. Information on the website of mine and also on their website. Take care. Have a great week. Busy. Remember to take time for yourself. Very important. You got to start banking that time because it's just going to get busier as we get into the summer and that T-square gets bigger. Take care. Bye-bye.